Blog Talk Radio.
Another lovely day begins.
Some ghouls with greenish skin. So close your eyes and you will find that you've arrived in Frightenstein.
So great recording from House of Frightenstein, starring Vincent Price. Good evening and welcome to Eerie House Radio. What's left of Dale Kay from Spook Show here along with
I'm not more than just what's left. I'm here from Weirdness Really Bad Movie and Spaceship One, and from filming Weirdness Really Bad Movie, Dave Binkley, and we're here with
ourselves
tonight.
Yeah. Oh, but we got Fonzbane in the chat, and thousands and billions and billions more that we can't see.
And luckily, we have split personalities, so there's many of us running around the Eerie House tonight. So, oh, okay.
Hey, I didn't
see that happen. Hey, Vogs, welcome back, and I hope you like that. That is the little intro that Dale pulled in there because of what Vogs wrote in the chat last night. I'm pretty sure is why Dale played that, right?
I don't like being figured out so easy, but yes. I prefer being mysterious.
Then you shouldn't send me the script ahead of time.
That's true. And I can never figure out why I can't surprise him. Anywho, we're wrapping up desert night. It's a good thing.
Yeah,
July, this is the time of year it gets hot in our part of the country anyway. It gets really hot. We're up by a lake, man, and it gets muggy and sticky and blicky.
Yeah, but deserts, the actual desert, it just has a relatively small amount of precipitation, and that means there are hot deserts and cold deserts, and the cold deserts are found in polar regions of the Earth, and actually, around one-third of the Earth's surface is covered in deserts, and most of that is in the cold. Even with all this fun global warming going on, interesting, some of the things going on. The largest desert in the world is the Antarctic Desert. It covers an area of 13.8 square kilometers, whatever the heck a square kilometer is. I know some square people. It's around the North Pole. So there you go. All kinds of things going on in the desert.
I think a square kilometer would be 10 meters by 10 meters. No, that's not right. I don't know. We'll do the math later. No, that's only 100 square
meters. We don't have the Garculator with us tonight. Darn it.
Yeah. We'll figure it out later. 10 of those would make a square kilometer. Anywho, it's beautiful Saturday. You know what that means. Very good chance of, and we are, presenting CBS Radio Mystery Theater.
And just like our last tale, tonight's another tale from good old Percy Granger. He had an interesting tale last time, and another interesting tale tonight. This time, he goes to the desert.
Yeah, with curse. Secret of the Aztecs.
Yes, and all just a interesting story here. Got the good old Mason Adams in this episode. Always Yeah, and always confused because downtown Akron here, I want to call it, it's the Adams Mason Funeral Home. I always want to call it the Mason Adams Funeral Home right downtown Akron here.
People are dying
and,
again.
I just love Mason Adams because he was a guy that did a tremendous amount of radio, a little bit of television, but then he got a chance to do, while he was doing the Mystery Theater here, he got a chance to head out west and work, be a regular on Lou Grant as Charlie Hume, the he was the city editor for.
Steve, I remember him a lot from commercials too. He just had a very distinctive voice and perfect for radio.
Yeah, and the voice of Smuckers for so many years. Because
yes,
if it says Smuckers, it has to be good.
Yep, and he could make his voice warm but strong, you know, very skilled. And I've heard him on older radio shows. It'll be interesting hearing him on something a little closer to our day from CBS Radio Mystery Theater.
Yep, he did quite a few of these as well. Just a quick look here as it comes up. He did 48 episodes of the CBS Radio Mystery Theater. So
wow.
He wasn't a stranger here either, but he did Exploring Tomorrow. He does X-1. I think he started off with Grand Central Station, as a lot of actors did, which was a Chicago-based program. He did a tremendous amount of work. And a regular in Pepper Young's Family on radio as well. I think he was a Pepper Young as a much younger actor. So, Suspense, Inner Sanctum. Yeah, the Inner Sanctum. We've aired a couple of, at least one Inner Sanctum he was in. The name escapes me. It's one that I had on cassette, so I've got to play over and over and over again. He was the son-in-law of the crazy guy who had the dead engineer haunting him.
As one does. One should always have a dead engineer haunting them.
Yeah, but usually it's people who engineer for me usually want to slit their throats. Does that count?
I don't know. I was hoping for Captain Penny. If I'm going to be haunted by an engineer, I want it to be Captain Penny.
Imagine Pennyfelt's surprise when he found out the trains don't really have captains.
Doesn't matter. It worked for my childhood. And which I'm trying to complete here on the show, my childhood. Let's go ahead and get started here with the CBS Radio Mystery Theater Secret of the Aztecs. Say that five times fast. Aztecs. This one's from?
It's episode number 687. Now, this first aired on July 22nd, 1977, but you can tell that this actually was from the repeat, December 11th, 1977, from the commercials that were airing. And before that, we have an extra bonus feature before the CBS Radio Mystery.
Hello, Americans. I'm Paul Harvey. You know what the news is. In half a minute, you're going to hear the rest of the story. There's one luxury you owe yourself this summer. A vacation at Kutcher's Country Club in Monticello, New York. Kutcher's accommodations are the most elegant anywhere. And right on Kutcher's premises are a championship 18 course, 12 tennis courts, a private lake, and much more. You'll see top entertainers in Kutcher's Stardust Room. This Saturday, Vic Damone and Jerry Vale, the Master Mimic, Frank Gorshin, Filana, Abby Lane, and others. For a special Kutcher's midweek summer package or vacation, call 212-243-3112.
Glenn was not yet 30. He was not yet 30 when he noticed that he was beginning to lose his hair. In the 20s, Glenn was a romantic leading man in traveling drama company. His livelihood depended on his appearance, and he was going bald. Well, Glenn panicked. He tried dozens of hair-growing treatments, no results. He experimented with innumerable so-called hair restorers, and not one hair was restored. And then somebody suggested a toupee, a hairpiece, and Glenn went to a shop where they were sold and tried one on, looked in the mirror, and it was awful. He tried another and another and another, and each one was as obvious and as silly-looking as the one before. So actor Glenn, disappointed by the hand that nature had dealt him, withdrew from the footlights forever. In a moment, the rest of the story. Because of his thinning hair, actor Glenn was finished as a romantic leading man. Now, toward the end of his stage career, these are the Depression years we're talking about here, toward the end of his career as an actor, Glenn became interested in economics and in politics. In 1933, he became an advocate of the Townsend Plan. In 1935, he tried unsuccessfully to organize a farm labor party in the Nevada and Montana mountains. By 1937, there was no turning back. Glenn was in politics up to his ears. He entered the Idaho Democratic primary for United States Representative by a narrow margin, lost. The following year, he ran for a Senate seat. He won the primary, but the general election, by a handful of votes, he lost. 2 years later, in 1940, Glenn tried again, and again he lost. Again, a very close race for the United States Senate, but he lost. All right, now it's 1944, and Glenn's making his third bid for the Senate, his fourth bid for public office, and one day about midway in the primary campaign, Glenn and his wife are driving home in their car, and they stop for gas. I want you to try to picture this now. The gas station attendant's filling the tank. Glenn's wife sitting in the car. Glenn gets out of the car to buy a bottle of soda pop. He returns to the car. The tank is filled. He asks the attendant, how much does he owe for the gas? And the attendant, now wait a minute. The attendant, pointing to Glenn's wife, said, quote, your daughter paid for it. Oh, ouch. All at once, that same self-consciousness he had experienced as an actor had returned. Now, after nearly a decade in politics, 7 years of almost elections, Glenn was trying again, barely 40, bald as a billiard ball. All these years, Glenn was in politics up to his ears and out of the running above them. And what was he facing now in the 1944 primaries? An opponent with a beautiful head of thick, wavy hair. Well, that did it. Glenn went home. He labored for 10 days to make for himself a toupee. Not an ordinary, obvious rug, but an artificial pate, so artistically, carefully constructed that only Glenn's closest friends could tell it was a hairpiece, and Glenn won the primary, I mean figuratively and literally by a hair, 212 votes, and he went on to win the general election to become the first actor ever elected to the United States Senate. But more than a successful politician arose from Glenn's head of handmade hair. For you see, the young actor who gave up the stage because of embarrassing premature baldness, the barren, scalped, continual contender for public office who had to make his own hairpiece to be elected senator from Idaho, became the man who, out of desperation, inadvertently revolutionized the cosmetics industry, Glenn Taylor, the inventor and manufacturer of the now famous toupee, the Taylor Topper. And now you know the rest of the story.
Stay tuned now for the WOR Mystery Theater.
Some men dream of exploring outer space, of conquering the furthest reaches of the universe. But there are others who are still intrigued by the mysteries contained right here on Earth, or in the Earth. Our planet is nearly 8,000 miles in diameter, yet man's deepest explorations have taken him down only 4 miles. Suppose we use an egg to represent the Earth. That 4 miles represents a depth no thicker than the egg's shell. Yet, how much lies buried there?
No. No, I don't want to see it.
But you must see it.
No, please.
It has fallen to you to defend its secret.
But why me?
Fate, my friend. I could not know it would be you.
No.
You have no choice. Your curiosity is my ally.
Oh, no. Good Lord. I've never seen anything like this in my entire life.
Our mystery drama, The Secret of the Aztecs, was written especially for Mystery Theater by Percy Grainger and stars Mason Adams. It is sponsored in part by Contact, the 12-hour cold capsule, and Buick Motor Division. I'll be back shortly with Act One.
The holidays are coming, and thanks to Balson, you can bring an old-fashioned fairy tale to life with an enchanting Knuspa house. The cookie house you and your family have fun building at home out of delicious Balson cookies. It comes in a kit with easy-to-follow instructions, all accessories, and 5 bags full of mouth-watering imported cookies to give you a large, beautiful 18-by-15-inch party decoration that lasts all through the holidays. And it tastes as good as it looks. After the festivities, everyone will delight in literally eating the cookie house up. The Balson Knuspa house is now on display at fine stores everywhere. And it makes a wonderfully unique gift idea, too. So get yours now and have a happy holiday. And don't forget to treat yourself. Enjoy Balson all year round. Balson, the naturally good line of imported baked delicacies.
Miss Dior, the classic fragrance by Christian Dior. Memorable, enticing. Its rippling scent tantalizing the senses. Miss Dior perfume, let its bouquet envelop you. French roses open to release the richness of their fragrance. Jasmine, pure and delicate, embroiders the scent. Add the coolness of oak moss. The lushness of gardenia. The sensuality of ambergris. And for warmth, patchouli. The heartbeat of Miss Dior perfume. Glorious. Miss Dior by Christian Dior. A gift of fragrance from the heart.
Come to Bloomingdale's for the perfect Christmas present.
Hidden treasure has always had an irresistible and sometimes fatal fascination for mankind. Prospectors died under a burning sun seeking the legendary city of El Dorado. Others have frozen to death trying to follow the northern lights, which they believed were the reflection of vast radium beds in the Arctic. And of course, we all think that if only we could discover the pot of gold at the end of the rainbow, our troubles would be over. But would they? We're on the edge of a desert in the southwest.
Howdy, mister. Feel all right?
Yes, please, regular. How far is it to the next town?
40 miles. But you ain't planning to drive across the desert tonight, are you?
I have to. I've got some important film I've got to mail back to the university to be developed.
Are you a scientist?
I'm a geologist. See, I've been photographing the seashells at the top of those mountains back there.
Seashells at the top of a mountain?
Yeah, we've known for a long time this area was once underwater. But these pictures will prove that the ocean was far deeper than we expected.
Well, now, ain't that something? Are you sure you want to drive through the desert tonight? It's almost dark.
I don't have time to waste. These photographs are important.
I'm telling you, it ain't safe.
Oh? What do you mean?
Oh, nothing. You'd better let me check under your hood.
There is no need. My oil's fine.
No, I'd better do it.
Well, all right. Strange fella. Hey, what are you doing? My engine's fine.
I'm just tightening one of your plugs. That's $4.50 for the gas.
Yeah. There you go.
Sure wish you'd reconsider.
Thanks for the concern, but I'll be okay.
These local people are all so superstitious. It's almost as if he were trying to frighten me. Wonder what he was so worried about.
Now for the news. Local authorities confess they are stumped by the mysterious disappearances of 4 people reported missing over a period of several weeks in the desert west of San Miguel.
Desert? Hey, that's here.
The 4 seem to have had nothing in common, nor can any motive be found to explain why they have vanished. Sheriff Wesley Parman is with us tonight in our studio.
I'm sorry to say we have no leads at this time, but the desert's a big place, and we're continuing the investigation.
Sheriff Parman, you think it could be murder?
I would not want to make that assumption until we find the bodies. It is possible they just lost their way.
But isn't it strange that all four disappeared in the same place on Highway 17?
It could be just a coincidence.
Thank you, Sheriff. Motorists are advised not to drive after sundown, as all the disappearances have occurred at night.
Highway 17. That's what I'm on. So that's what that gas station fellow was trying to warn me about. But why didn't he just come right out and say it? Well, I'm not going to let it scare me. What? What's happening? What? I mean, why is my car stopping? Oh, boy, now I am in a fix. Middle of nowhere. Not a car in sight. Well, I'd better start walking. Someone's bound to come along. Just my luck. My car breaks down right where four people... No. I better not think about that. Headlights. Hey, where did they come from? I looked back not 10 seconds ago. There was no one in this road for miles.
Is that your car back up the road?
Yeah, it is.
I suppose you'd like a ride.
I think I can walk, thanks.
It's still 25 miles to the next town.
Well, maybe I am being silly. Thank you. my name is Jim. Jim Hudson.
I'm Quetzal.
That's an odd name.
Not odd. It's Aztec.
Aztec? I thought they were extinct. Well, I'm a geologist. I've just made a new discovery. I was taking some pictures of seashells.
On Mount Chiricahua.
You know about them?
I know everything about this desert. Everything. Your discovery is not new.
Well, I think it's pretty important. This film, it's not valuable, not in money terms. My camera is just an old one.
Why are you shaking? You're cold?
No. Well, I tell you, it was that report on the radio about the missing people. Did you hear it?
You can't get reception out here.
What? But I was just listening to it.
You seem plenty nervous.
Well, I'm sorry. I appreciate you driving me into town.
Who said I was going to town?
You're not?
Why should I go to town? I live out here.
Well, but where? The map doesn't show any side roads.
You can spend the night with me.
Oh, no. I'm in a terrible hurry. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. What are you doing? How can you turn off the highway? There's no road.
You just hang on, fella.
Where are we?
This is where I live.
That shack? Well, it looks deserted. Really, I wish you'd show me how to get back to the road.
I light the lamp. What do you think of Quetzal's cabin, eh?
Well, everything is so antique. This calendar says 1912.
Tonight, you help me keep watch.
Keep watch?
Tonight, Quetzal will be attacked.
Attacked? By whom?
You mentioned four people who disappeared.
Yeah, vanished into thin air.
They did not just vanish. That's so dumb. By the savage.
Savage?
I call him Mizcol. After the Aztec god of the hunt, Mizcol means cloud serpent.
Cloud serpent? But there is no such thing.
You will recognize him when you see him. He always carries arrows of lightning.
But I don't understand. What is this savage hunting that he's killed four people?
Come, I will show you.
Well,
your footing?
It must be 1,000 feet down. Are we going out on that ledge?
No, not the ledge. It would give way. We must continue straight up.
Where are you taking me?
You will see.
No, I don't want to go any further. Whatever it is, I don't want to see it.
You have no choice. Either way, Savage will assume you have seen what he is after. Here, in this cave, is what we have come to see.
Good Lord. I don't believe my eyes.
Believe, my friend?
Well, this treasure, the entire cave is filled. Chest after chest. Plates, jewelry, statues.
What? This is the finest piece of all.
A crown, a headdress, solid gold.
With the tails of 500 birds of paradise.
Why, it's just like the headdress they say Montezuma wore.
It is his headdress.
What?
What you are looking at, my friend, is the treasure of Montezuma.
People have searched for this for centuries. But the Aztec Empire was 1,500 miles to the south. How did it get all the way up here?
The fatal mistake of the greedy has always been to underestimate the stamina of the Aztec. They assume we must have hidden the treasure near Mexico City the night the Spaniards marched into the citadel. But our remnant carried it to the north, to this spot. They intend to use it one day to rebuild the great Aztec Empire. But shortly after, they were ambushed and wiped out by the Apache.
Well, then how did you find it?
One woman survived the massacre. She bore a son and passed the secret on to him. He told his son, and so it has come down, this most sacred trust. For it was understood that the only way to assure that the treasure would never be found was if there was always one person who knew its location. But I have no heirs.
So now it's up to me.
Yes. As it was up to the four before you.
But they're dead.
They were not clever enough. Let us hope you will be. Come, we must go back to my cabin and wait for the Savage. I will give you this gun.
But it's only an old flintlock.
It will serve.
Does this Savage know where the treasure is?
No. But in his never-ending search, he is coming too close. That is why it has been necessary for me to bring you here.
Why don't you stop him yourself?
That is not possible.
I don't understand.
You will.
But if he's killed four people, why don't you go to the police?
The Savage, like the Indian, has learned the art of concealment. Even the police could not stop him. One more thing I must tell you.
You let me by, or we'll find out whether this old rifle works or not.
You must remember the way to the treasure, so it will be safe forever. The others were murdered because they did not...
You get out of my way or I'll shoot. Lord! It did work, this old flintlock. Oh, no. Quetzal! Old man! Oh, no. He's dead. The road! At last, the road!
Hey, fella, you okay?
Please help me.
You oughtn't to be out here, not on this road. Ain't you hurt?
I know. Just give me a lift into town.
Sounds like you've been running quite a ways. What happened?
I don't know. Just take me to the sheriff's office.
Wesley Parman? Sure. But why?
Because I've just killed a man.
What?
I just killed an old man back there. What are you doing?
Why you point that gun at me?
You think I drive this road without protection? Get out. And don't try anything funny.
Oh, no. No, you can't do that.
There's a killer loose out here, mister. I ain't taking any chances.
Yeah, but I didn't kill those other people. I think the man that I shot did.
Get out.
I didn't mean to shoot him. I thought the gun was just an antique. When Quetzal gave it to me, it looked like an old flintlock.
Quetzal? Did you say Quetzal?
Yes.
Mister, you must be crazy.
What?
He didn't commit those murders.
Why not?
Because old man Quetzal's been dead for 65 years.
Has our friend been in another world, on an astral plane? If so, he's going to have plenty of problems now that he's back to Earth. And if not, well, there's always the savage, who could be a man or, perhaps even more terrifying, a state of mind. I'll return shortly with Act Two.
Savage. No. Well, see what...
Go ahead.
No, we'll see what happens in just a little while as the story
goes.
Yeah,
quite the tale going on here. About a guy killing a guy that was dead already 80 years or so. Yeah, that's pretty interesting. Very interesting.
Well, they're a lot easier to kill if they're already dead.
Well, that would be true. It wouldn't be very sporting either, would it?
No, not very sporting.
It'd be like shooting a deer after you run it over with your car, you know?
Yes, exactly.
Ouch, you say.
I'm sure it's been done. I don't know why, but I'm just sure it's been done.
Now, a wonderful tale tonight, and starring Mason Adams. I looked over many of his other stories, ones that I was familiar with, very many of them. Another story that is a favorite of mine, and he's not the lead in it, Windan Dingo, and we've aired that on one of our 4th of Julys. And the other one, which is one of my favorites, was The Man with the Magic Fingers. And he did have the lead in that one. And just another one of those stories that I had on cassette that I just got to play over and over and over again. There aren't many of those that we had on cassette that I didn't just absolutely love and always love to hear. One of them was my brother. He enjoyed it. I never cared much. It was called What the Shepherd Saw. It just was a story that I just didn't do much for me. But my brother did enjoy it. So it's okay.
Now you're making me wonder what the shepherd did see.
Well, maybe he saw some pie, you know.
Shepherd's pie.
Shepherd's pie. Great. Now I'm hungry. Thank you. It's your fault.
Well, you brought it up.
I did. So it's my fault I'm hungry. Thank you very much. Yeah.
Ice cream.
Stop. I'm hearing voices again.
Yeah, and they're saying ice cream.
They're saying ice cream.
This is a world peace.
No, very, very, very interesting tale. And just Hyman Brown does know how to weave a story. He really does. He takes the story and just gets the most out of it with the actors, with the sound effects, and knows right when you need to stop the story to take the break. And it just really so much really fits together. Unlike Arch Obler hated to stop the middle of his story for commercial. He did at certain points, but he absolutely hated it. He said, I hate stopping my story for the sell something. It's just so stupid. You know, I like rather just continue on, sell them over the beginning and end. You got to pay for it, but he just literally hated it. Hyman Brown loved marketing because that's how he made his money, from selling the things that he did. You know, the Mystery Theater, they had some national sponsors and stuff, but really he sold it to Anheuser-Busch, where they, over the course of the years they were on, donated well over $1 million to the Mystery Theater just to get it and keep it going. And it was technically it was a donation, so it was kind of run like a nonprofit organization, I guess, is what you would have to call it, in order to get it not to be technically a sponsor, but underwriting in a way.
Nice.
Many of the actual commercials, but they did have actual commercials, but many of the actual commercials were just from the local stations. That's why in every break, they had at least one spot where you'd have a public service announcement. And it's during that public service announcement, you could take that public service announcement out and on the local station level and put in a local sponsor. And that's how a local sponsor could actually get an advertisement on the CBS Radio Mystery Theater in its own market. I know that here in Akron, one thing I remember in specific was Hank's Marathon. It's no longer Hank's Marathon. Hank is no longer with us, I think. But his marathon, which actually was right next to the building I now work in at the Goodwill Industries of Akron. And it's right next to it. That was Hank's Marathon. And he had advertisements on there fairly frequently.
I'm kidding. Yeah, that's how the business was run, I guess.
Yeah, well, and advertising is a deductible cost for businesses because it's a business expense. So not only did you get to advertise and be part of Radio Mystery Theater lore right here in Akron, Ohio, but it was a tax deductible bit. So there you go. What more can one ask for?
Not much. We could ask for part two.
We could.
Secret of the Aztecs, thrilling story starring Mason Adams. We'll be back after part two.
Yes, come, let's follow a most remarkable cold medicine on its journey of relief. The medicine is Contac, the same 12-hour Contac you can buy. Though it weighs no more than an aspirin, the capsule is packed with enough medicine to help relieve cold symptoms caused by every known virus. A sip of water, and we're off. Contac begins its work. The 600 tiny time pills leave the capsule on their own important journey, each in turn releasing its precious medicine into your bloodstream, where it's needed most. Relief begins. Incredibly, for the next 12 hours, the virus symptoms, your sneezing, swollen membranes, congestion, will be held at bay. All day while you work, all night while your body rests and restores itself. All day, all night relief, no matter what cold virus attacks. That's the wonder of Contac. Give you a call to Contac. Take only as directed.
What's for dinner has an old familiar ring. Where does a mother go for the best of everything? What's for dinner? The family wants to know. Who's got the answers? Who's got the most to show? Shop right now.
Has all your holiday needs. That's right, and just one-stop shopping. Treat your little girl to Farrah Fawcett or Cher's Makeup Center by Mago, $9.99 each. Delight your boy with a Bitron robot by Mago, $10.99 each. And there's lots more. Dolls, trains, trucks, gift wrappings, trim the tree, house decorations, holiday paper goods, and all the makings for a fabulous holiday dinner. Remember, for all your holiday needs, it's one-stop shopping and a lot more for a little less at ShopRite.
If you were determined to make your way in the business world, what sort of publication would you design to help you? One that would give you the latest news about business, of course. And for sure, one that would report to you in detail, unbiased, fast, what's new, important, and significant in business developments around the world. That's why I'm telling you now about the only national daily business publication in the United States, the Wall Street Journal. The journal exists to report to you the latest business news, to tell you about important, significant business developments and thinking around the world. That's why the journal has the world's largest staff of business news experts. That's why the journal is published every business day in 10 printing plants across the United States and rushed to you. That's why the Journal is at a newsstand on your way to work every business day. If the Wall Street Journal didn't exist, you'd want to invent it. Pick it up today.
Chanel number 19, witty. Chanel number 19, confident. Chanel number 19, devastatingly feminine. Number 19, the outspoken Chanel. Aren't you just a tiny bit curious about a fragrance with that kind of style?
I love everything about you. The way you touch me, the way you look, even the way you smell. The cologne you wear, the Chanel for men, that's you. I'm glad it was me who gave it to you. Because you know what I think of when I smell that fragrance? Us.
Chanel for men cologne, aftershave, and grooming essentials. He doesn't have everything if he doesn't have Chanel.
Things happen in the desert. The children of Israel survived there for many years on nothing but lichen. The desert sunflower, with its hauntingly beautiful bloom, flourishes on the side of an enormous dune where no water has ever fallen. And how many people, lost for days and half crazed from thirst, have seen shimmering images of things that were not there at all.
That old man can't have been dead 65 years. I tell you, I saw him.
And I'm telling you, it's impossible.
My car broke down, and he picked me up in an old truck, like a Model T or something. He took me to his cabin, and I tell you, I killed him.
Mister, I don't think it's the sheriff you want to see.
What? Where are you taking me?
I tell you, Doc, I had a heck of a time getting him here.
I had the nurse give him a sedative.
I've seen the desert do a lot of strange things to people, but this guy's really off.
Well, I want to have a talk with him. Maybe I can ascertain what he's suffering from. I think you'd better come in, too. You might be able to help.
Sure, Doc.
Mr. Hudson? Mr. Hudson?
Yes?
My name is Dr. Hinckley.
Where am I?
You're in the hospital in San Miguel.
Oh, my film, I've got to send it in.
Mr. Parks, do you know what he's talking about?
Nope. He didn't have nothing with him when I picked him up.
Doctor, this man, he pulled a gun on me. He was going to shoot me.
Is that true, Mr. Parks?
No, of course not. I don't even own a gun.
But I tell you, I saw it.
Mr. Parks, I think you'd better leave us alone.
Okay.
I am not sick. I'm a geologist. I'm with the university.
Maybe you'd better ring up Sheriff Palmer and ask him to come over here.
Sure thing, Doctor.
There. He's gone. Is that better?
Where's my film? I had some very important photographs.
Now, you just lie back and relax, Mr. Hudson.
I saw that old man as plain as I see you.
Now, we all know about Quetzal here. He was a strange man, a hermit. But I don't think even he had the power to return from the grave.
Now I know what he meant when he said his secret would be safe. It's so fantastic, no one would listen to me.
What secret is that, Mr. Hudson?
Oh, no. If I told you, then you'd really think I was nuts.
I think we'd better keep you here a while for observation.
You mean I'm a prisoner?
You're an intelligent man, Mr. Hudson. I'm sure you can appreciate that from our point of view, your tale is, well, to say the least, fantastic.
I am not staying here.
Hello, Doc. Charlie Parks gave me a call. I came right over.
Hello, Sheriff.
What's up?
Well, this fella here's got a pretty weird story. Mr. Parks found him wandering in the desert.
Is that the sheriff?
That's right, fella. Wesley Parman's name.
Sheriff, this man is holding me here against my will. And that other guy brought me here at gunpoint and refuses to admit it. Is this whole town crazy?
According to Charlie, you were going on about old man Quetzal. You claim you shot him. Is that right, Mr.
The name on the driver's license is in his pocket. Says Hudson.
That is my name.
Well, did you shoot him?
Wes, I don't think it's a good idea to humor him.
I know, Doc, but I'm staring down the barrel of four unsolved murders, and at this point I'm prepared to follow up any lead I got.
Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Are you accusing me of murdering those other people?
I'm not accusing you of anything. Don't get excited. Let's first of all try to clear up the mystery of this man you claim you shot.
You think it may have been someone simply claiming to be Quetzal?
That's the obvious explanation. Here, Mr. Hudson, take a look at this old photograph. Is that the man you say you shot?
Yeah. Is that him?
That is Quetzal, all right.
Mr. Hudson, why don't you tell me exactly what happened?
I shot him from point-blank range, but it was self-defense.
You're saying you were attacked by a ghost?
Well, no, not exactly. Come to think of it, it was almost as if he wanted me to shoot him.
I see. You think you could remember the spot where all this happened?
No, I don't want to go back there.
Son, whatever has happened, I know you've had a rough night, but I think you better consider your situation.
Wes, the patient is under sedation. I can't permit you to interrogate him.
The only way we're going to get to the bottom of this is if we try to retrace your steps.
Well, I'm afraid I can't allow you to take him out of the hospital in his condition.
Well, all right. All right. Look, Doc, I'm a big boy. I'll take full responsibility. You're sure this is the spot?
Well, I think so. It's hard to tell. Everything looks the same out here, especially in the dark.
Well, I don't see no body.
It has to be here somewhere.
I don't know. Maybe we better just go back to the hospital.
No, Sheriff, please. Hey, wait a second. What's this?
Well, it looks like a camera case.
Yes, it is. It's my camera case. So I was here.
Well, how do you know it's yours?
Open it up. There should be a 35-millimeter camera with a macro-focused lens and 8 rolls of undeveloped film.
That's what's in here,
you
all
see?
Right.
You see? I must have dropped it along with the gun right after I shot Quetzal.
I don't see no gun, and I certainly don't see nobody.
But I felt the weight of the gun in my hands. My shoulder's still sore from the kick.
What's the matter?
The savage.
What?
The savage. Quetzal told me about this man or creature or whatever that he called the savage. He said he'd be coming tonight. He must have taken the body.
Now, what would he want with the body of a man who's been dead 65 years?
I'm telling the truth. I know. The cabin. If we could only find Quetzal's cabin.
That's easy. Everybody knows where the remains of Quetzal's cabin are.
Not remains. It's as neat as a pin. Everything was in its place.
All right, let's get back in the Jeep. But you better hang on. We're in for a bumpy ride.
I know that, Sheriff. I've already been there once.
Look familiar?
I don't believe it. Why, it's a shambles. Litter, beer can.
Well, local high school kids use this place for parties for years. I'm always running them out.
But there was furniture, there was curtains, a calendar. There it is. I can even tell you the year without looking. 1912.
Sure. That was the year old man Quetzal died.
But there must be a rational explanation. The savage, he must have come up here and wrecked everything. Quetzal said he was going to attack tonight.
Now, this savage of yours is a mighty convenient fellow, Mr. Hudson. But how does that account for the dust?
What dust?
Run your finger along that sill.
What? It's a quarter of an inch thick.
Yes, Mr. Hudson, because nobody's lived here for 65 years.
But...
Now, just calm down. Who is this savage, anyway?
Quetzal called him Miss Cotal, the Aztec god of the hunt. He said I'd recognize him, that he was a cloud serpent with lightning arrows.
Uh-huh.
Quetzal told me that he was after the...
The what?
The treasure.
What treasure?
Montezuma's gold.
Montezuma's gold, huh?
I could have sworn that I saw it with my own eyes. I ran my fingers through coffers of gold coins. I saw the headdress of Montezuma himself.
He showed you all this, did he?
Yes. No. I don't know. I don't know anything anymore. The doctor's right, Sheriff. I must be crazy.
And just where was this fabulous treasure?
I can't remember. Everything looks the same out here. You know, I think we'd better go back to the hospital.
Mr. Hudson, you seem like a nice fella. You're an overeducated guy whose imagination has got the better of him. But I'm willing to go one more round with you. If you think you could find your way back to this treasure...
I just want to get out of here.
Now, look. Part of your story makes sense.
It does?
Hmm. The old man Quetzal was Indian. And I remember my grandfather saying there's some rumor that he knew the location of a treasure.
Well, and I really might have seen it. But how does that explain my meeting this ghost?
Well, there's more things on heaven and earth than we dream of, as the poet says. I know cops now who are using psychics for detective work, for Pete's sake. Seems anything's possible these days.
I know, and that's why I want to get away from here. Quetzal said that savage was going to come here tonight.
Now, we're back on that again, are we? Now, look. If I take you back to town, I'll have to return you to the hospital.
Well, maybe that's where I should be.
And with all due respect to the good doctor, he's a strict man. You could be there a long time as long as you stick to this crazy story. Unless you can show me some proof.
You're threatening me, Sheriff. You're trying to keep me here.
I am trying to give you the benefit of the doubt.
You think I killed those four people, don't you? You want to pin their murders on me. Well, why not? I'm a stranger. I've been out in the desert for 3 weeks. I've got no alibi. And four unsolved disappearances makes you look bad. You're trying to keep me here until I confess.
Now, son, that just doesn't make sense.
Why not? Makes perfect sense to me. I think you're trying to drive me crazy, and I want to know why.
I'm operating on only one assumption, Mr. Hudson, that somehow there's a connection between what you've gone through tonight and those disappearances. And if you can remember where you went, it just might lead us to those other four people. Now, can you see that?
I'm sorry. But I guess I just don't know what to think anymore. Yeah, I'll try to remember.
Good.
Oh, my nerves. Have you got a cigarette?
Mm. Oh, sure, here.
Ah, could you light it for me? My hands are trembling.
Okay. Hey, what's the matter?
Your arm.
What?
That tattoo on your arm. It's the cloud serpent with the lightning arrows.
You're very observant, Mr. Hudson.
You're Miss Codal. You're the savage.
That's right, Mr. Hudson. I'm the savage. And by the time you finish that cigarette, you better remember just where the treasure of the Aztecs is hidden.
Mysterious forces operate in the universe. But is not the most mysterious of all a terrifyingly simple one? That any person, any one of us, minding his own business, meaning no harm to no one, can at any moment be arbitrarily caught up in a web of danger and intrigue and find himself a helpless pawn in a game, the losing of which may cost him his life. I'll be back shortly.
Santa baby, just slip a sable under the tree for me. Then an awful good girl, Santa baby. Santa honey, a racy jag convertible to light blue. And don't forget to give me a pish. Think of all the fun I've missed. Think of all the fellows that I haven't kissed. Next year I could be just as good.
Santa baby, I'll be so good. I'll promise you anything. But give me Arpège.
Hey, a little Eartha Kitt song used in a commercial. How about that?
She promised me anything, Dale. Anything.
Anything at all.
Anything at all. I bet that doesn't really. I bet it doesn't really work that way.
I bet it doesn't. I for one, would get slapped.
Yeah, that's a promise you could keep. Yeah, yeah.
Yes. I told her what I wanted.
Kind of reminds me of from part of our new show coming up. Was complaining about we're doing the movie Yesterday Machine, a wonderfully terrible movie, and Dallas, Texas lounge singer who has two gold records, who's stuck in Dallas in this cheap Dallas lounge, is singing the song Leave Me Alone. And Kathleen asked me, what's wrong with us? I said, well, I've heard it from women enough in my life to leave them alone that I don't need a woman singing it to me. And I said, do you know what happens right after a woman says, leave me alone? She said a restraining order. I said, right.
That's right.
There you go. Yes. Tonight, and before tonight is out, I will be posting some pictures on the Weirdest Really Bad Movie Facebook page from today's shoot. A lot of fun there, and looking forward to sharing the show with everyone. I got some fun little special effects I'm trying to work up for it, and we're gonna have a good time with it.
Ah, you're quite the one with the spatial effects.
Well, James Travers is a little better than I am, but I get by. The guy is amazing with his animation that he puts into our shows. So, but I don't have animation, but I do have a few special effects up my sleeve.
Good. And you will have to check out Dave's show to catch those.
Yep, yep. And for those listening in the archive, remember, there's still time to vote for me for the Horror Host Hall of Fame by putting a vote in at thehorrorhosthalloffame@gmail.com. Plenty of time for that.
Yeah, do it now before you forget.
Yeah, yes, yes. There we go.
Do it now. Vote now, vote once, vote often.
Well, no. We don't go that route. We don't go that route.
I know.
So, you know we wouldn't do that, Dale.
No. Now, Dave, let's see here. We've got quite a little problem developing here.
We do. And now he's proven that he was there because they found his camera case and all that undeveloped film. And he still insists he saw what he saw when he couldn't see what he saw.
I saw what I saw when I saw it.
Yeah. So I wonder how this all gets resolved in the end.
Let's find out as we play the final segment of Secret of the Aztecs from CBS Radio Mystery Theater.
We all believe in free will, don't we? But for our friend Mr. Hudson, it's been in rather short supply. In fact, his last act of free will was his decision to drive off into the desert at sunset. And it now appears he may not drive out of it alive.
It was you all along that Quetzal was trying to warn me against.
That's right, Mr. Hudson.
That's why he couldn't go to the police. That's what he meant when he said the savage had mastered the art of concealment.
He said that, did he? Coming from him, I consider that a mighty high compliment.
Now I remember where I've seen you before. At that service station. You were the attendant. You insisted on checking under my hood. You fixed this so that my car would break down.
Your deduction is correct.
But then who are you?
the sheriff or a station attendant.
Let's just say that when you're up against a ghost, you have to become something of a spirit yourself.
Then Quetzal really was a ghost?
Well, like I said before, there's more to heaven and earth than we know. Montezuma's treasure has been guarded by spiritual forces for 4.5 centuries. My great-grandfather searched for it over 100 years ago. He died under circumstances that were most mysterious. So did my grandfather and my father. But I have no intention of failing as they did.
Then it was you who killed those other people.
Yeah, I thought I'd lost the trail till one day 3 weeks ago, a tourist showed up in my office with a story of a strange encounter with an old man who met Quetzal's description. It was then I realized I must be closer than I knew. So close, the spirit of the last Aztec descendant had had to materialize to try to trick me to my death. Unfortunately, that tourist couldn't remember where the treasure was, but you can see why I had to kill him. Wouldn't be right for every two-bit treasure hunter in the country to converge on what is mine.
Yours?
Mine. My family has paid for it in blood. I started arranging for people to break down out here to provide more encounters with Quetzal. He's been most obliging. But unfortunately, there's a lot of truth in the old saying that a person can't cut the same path through the desert twice. Now, I hope for both our sakes that you'll have better luck remembering the way.
But I tell you, I don't. You've got to believe me.
If I do, Mr. Hudson, you're a dead man.
You wouldn't dare kill me. There are two witnesses back in town who know I'm with you. The doctor and that guy Charlie who picked me up.
Well, now, Mr. Hudson, I've got some good news and some bad news.
What do you mean?
The good news is you're right. There are two witnesses. The bad news is you're wrong. They aren't in town.
What?
Bob. Charlie.
Hello, Mr. Hudson.
What? Doctor. Charlie.
Unfortunately, Wes here had to let us in on his little secret. I'm sure there's enough gold that it'll just naturally divide into 3 even piles when Mr. Hudson here leads us to it.
Is he having any better luck than his predecessors remembering where old Quetzal's goose took him?
Well, I think we're about to find out. Two of that cigarette, Mr. Hudson?
I tell you, I don't remember. We climbed for a long time. I wasn't paying any attention.
Ah. He's going to be just like all the rest.
I don't think so. This time, I've come prepared.
What's that?
Truth serum. His subconscious mind will remember the course they took.
You can't do this. That treasure belongs to the Aztec.
All right, grab him, Charlie.
Hold him down.
Okay.
I got it.
How long does it take to work?
Just a few minutes. And when he comes to, we should have a very honest man on our hands.
When's he going to come to? You sure you didn't give him too much of that stuff?
Just be patient, Wes.
Oh, that's easy for you to say. 3 weeks ago, you didn't know this treasure existed. But I've been searching for it my whole life. And now, thanks to Doc's truth serum, I don't see as I have any more use for you two.
Hey, Wes, what are you doing with that gun?
You're next, Doc.
I kind of figured you'd try a stunt like this, Wes. There's just one thing. That shot I gave Mr. Hudson, it contained a small dose of a compound I added to the sodium pentothal.
What's that?
It's poison. Oh, it won't kill him right away. And I did take the precaution of bringing along the antidote.
Give me your bag.
Yeah.
Hey. There must be 20 vials in here.
That's right. And I'm the only one who knows which is the antidote. I'd say we still have a partnership, wouldn't you, Wes?
Why, you...
Where am I? Mr. Hudson?
Yes, my name is Mr. Hudson.
Good. Do you remember the trail you took with Quetzal?
Yes.
Do you remember what it led to?
It led to the treasure of Montezuma.
I want you to take us there, Mr. Hudson. Okay, Mr. Hudson. Which way do we go from here?
I'm not sure. There's something. My head.
You must remember the way so the treasure will be safe forever.
Do we keep going straight up or take that ledge?
I don't know.
Not the ledge. The ledge will give way. Remember?
Of course, that's what he meant.
What?
The ledge. Take the ledge.
Okay, but you first.
Me? No, I can't. I'm too dizzy.
Don't give me that. Get going.
Wes, don't push him, remember? The treasure is buried in a cave right at the other end of that ledge.
Montezuma's treasure, at last, after 100 years.
Wes, be careful! Good Lord, it's 1,000 feet down!
That was very clever, Mr. Hudson.
I think I'm going to be sick.
Now, you listen to me.
No.
I'll make you a deal.
No, I just want to get away from here.
Mr. Hudson, wait.
Don't you understand? That treasure belongs to the Aztecs. There's a curse on it. Leave it alone.
Leave it alone. Leave it alone.
Mr. Hudson. Mr. Hudson.
I've got to catch him.
He needs the antidote.
There's the road. And Charlie's car. Please start. Please.
There are the lights of the town. What's that? Someone's following me. Oh, I've got to make it to town. I've got to get hold of someone. Tell someone where I am. University. Oh, I think I've lost him. Now, there's a phone booth. Oh, just my luck. I won't have a dime. Oh, wait a minute. Ah, there. Good. Operator, give me 555-4037, please. What is it? Oh, no.
Mister? Hey, mister.
The sheriff! How can you still be alive? I saw you fall!
Calm down. You're okay now. I saw you jump in Charlie's car back there. I've been following you.
What? I don't understand.
My name's Chester Parman. I'm the sheriff's brother.
His brother?
Yeah, his twin brother.
Wait a minute. You're the service station attendant.
Yeah, that's right. Thank goodness I found you. You're still alive.
Well, your brother's dead.
I can't say I'm sorry. The lure of that crazy fantasy had him turned into a madman.
It's not a fantasy. There really is a treasure.
I don't want to hear about it. Those mountains can keep it for all I care. Wes talked me into helping him at first. When he started killing people, I tried to pull out, but then he threatened me, his own brother. I wanted to warn you, but I was scared. Then I just couldn't let this go on any longer, so I come out here looking for you. Now, come on. I'll drive you back to your car and get it running. I figure that's the least I can do for you, huh?
Just a minute. Charlie kept a gun in his car. I want to get it.
What for?
One of them is still alive, the doctor. I'm not taking any more chances.
Yeah, there we go. Your car ought to run okay now.
Thanks, Chester.
I ought to put a stop to this long time ago. I guess you'll be glad to get away from here, huh?
Yeah, I guess I will.
You got that film you were so concerned about?
Oh, no, still up in Quetzal's cabin.
Well, if I was you, I'd forget it. Especially with that Dr. Hinckley still running around loose somewhere.
Yeah, just forget it.
You, really saw Quetzal, huh?
Yeah.
And he showed you the treasure?
Yeah. No. I never saw it.
Oh. Well, I suppose it's just as well.
Yeah.
Say, you sure you're all right?
I feel kind of sick. I'll be okay when I'm on the open road. Thanks, Chester.
All right. Well, good luck.
feel sick. Must be that truth serum. Now what? A film. Maybe I ought to go get it. I'd come right back. Oh, no. Oh, no. It's the doctor. Just stay away.
Mr. Hudson! No. Mr. Hudson, wait!
Hold it right there!
Listen, you've got to listen to me.
Don't you come any closer.
Don't shoot. You don't know. I'm willing to make a deal.
Why should I make a deal with you?
That truth serum. Oh, Mr. Hudson.
I don't need you, Doc. I don't need anyone. I'm the one who knows where the treasure is.
Could a spirit like Quetzal really exist? Why not? There are more things in heaven and earth than are dreamt of in our philosophies. And the treasure of Montezuma never has been found, has it? Human knowledge has doubled in the last 50 years and will double again in the next 20. Yet along the way, there is much we have forgotten we might well have done to remember.
This is Joe DiMaggio for the Bowery, with a way to protect your retirement money in uncertain economic times.
It's a Bowery retirement savings account, Joe. If you're self-employed, the Bowery can show you how to retire on nearly $1 million. That nest egg is based on the Bowery's 6 to 7 year rates and annual tax-deductible contributions of $7,500 a year for 30 years. Future rates may vary, but this is certain. Your Bowery retirement money keeps growing, whatever the economy's up and down. Remember FDIC.
Hello, Mystery Theater fans. This is WR's movie critic, Walter Spencer. And I hope that when you leave your radio to seek adventure, laughter, or romance in a motion picture theater, you'll first tune in to me for reviews of all the latest films and other cinema information as I talk about the movies on Rambling with Gambling at 9:20 a.m. every Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and Saturday, and on Radio New York at 6:20 p.m. each Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday, right here on WOR, the heart of New York.
Are the great pre-Columbian civilizations off Central America really dead? Could the people who built the vast pyramids of the Yucatan disappear without a trace? Perhaps, for no civilization can live forever, even ours. But something of a culture can survive, even if it is only the mysterious power to keep its secrets safe from the prying eyes of modern man. Our cast included Mason Adams, Bob Dryden, Ken Harvey, and Court Benson. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown. And now, a preview of our next tale.
Behind that wall is a sub-treasury building. The custom house backs on to the sub-treasury building, see? I got a blueprint back in my rooms. You know what it shows?
I'm going to stop guessing. I'm always wrong.
It shows the vault is on the second floor of that building. See, we organize ourselves and come up here on Friday afternoon, which is when it's closed to the public. The custom house people who work downstairs leave at 6. And over Saturday and Sunday, we punch ourselves a hole in that wall. Would you believe it? Just a couple of feet from here where we're standing now is $10 million.
Behind that wall is $10
million. Yeah, in gold, silver, and bills.
Radio Mystery Theater was sponsored in part by Buick Motor Division and Contact, the 12-hour cold capsule. This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant dreams.
Tonight's Mystery Theater was brought to you in part by ShopRite Supermarkets, where you get a lot more for a little less. The preceding program is furnished by CBS Radio. 6 p.m., this is WOR News. The temperature in Manhattan is 21 degrees and it's clear. Good evening, I'm Bruce Elliott. First, a travel note, the Harlem River Drive approach to the George Washington Bridge is still closed because of flooding caused by a broken water main.
Hey, you want the best? Your Chrysler Plymouth dealer has the best of everything, including a car that's fantastic. The 1978 Velari Fun Runner. Special two-tone paint job, tape stripes, louvered windows, all for $38.95 sticker price, excluding taxes and destination charges. That's a lot of fun for the money.
Hey, you want a car? We've got the best. We've got the best.
The 78 Fun Runner starting at $3,895 at your New York Chrysler Plymouth dealer.
Yeah, that's right. Get yours now. Hey, thanks for all those 90. Extra.
Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say thanks for all those extra bonuses, the extra commercials and stuff.
$38.95 for the car with racing stripes even. You know, they want more than that for a down payment to buy a new car now.
Yeah, pretty much. Jeez.
I just can't, you know, and just think I could only afford an old clunker, you know, and, yep. And a new car was only $38.95. I needed a better job back then, too.
As did I. I always drove something that was like 7 to 10 years old and rusty as hell. And you don't understand, yep. Gang, if you're young, a 7-year-old car was not what a 7-year-old car is today.
No.
Now it's got
Because now a 7-year-old car, you have to have it last 7 years because that's what payments are.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They didn't have loans longer than 3-4 years back then for cars.
Yeah. That was it. Wow.
Yeah. But we got through
it. Yeah, we did. And it looks like we got some bonus time. And we also have a lesson to learn, I believe.
I believe that is true. A lesson should be learned here. And lesson number one, be prepared. Eerie House Radio proudly presents a garrulous moral of the story.
Apology is de gar. If you get lost in the desert and you run into an old Indian, just keep running. Keep running. There you go.
Ooh.
I got some whiskey on that one. Cool.
Indian love song, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
There you go.
Yeah. How appropriate. Singing.
It's got to theme everything up that we can.
So, yeah. Fun story. A wonderful story. Like I said, Hyman Brown knows how to tell a tale. He may be able to hold a grudge for 40 years, but he knew how to tell a story. No doubt about it.
Some of the most talented people I know can hold a grudge forever. And some untalented ones, too. Like myself, but I digress. I digress. We got the bonus time, as you mentioned.
We do.
And
whatever shall we do?
I don't know. I'm gonna. You sprung for the song yesterday. I'm gonna go up and spin the wheel.
Cool. I'm looking forward to the wheel.
Time for wheel. Old radio.
Around she goes, and where she stops, nobody knows.
Come on, wheel.
Wheel stuck.
Ladies and gentlemen, Don Amici and Francis Langford in Philip Rapp's creation, The Bickersons.
Every morning it's the same. Rush, rush, rush. Get up at 7, make breakfast for you. Then clear the things away, straighten the house, make the bed, do the shopping, do the laundry. Why can't I have a maid, John? John.
Hmm?
Well, why don't you answer me, John?
Hmm.
You take your head out of that paper for a minute. You hear what I'm saying?
Always hear what you're saying, Blanche.
You do not. Might as well be talking to a stone wall. Your mind is always a million miles away.
Hmm.
John.
Hmm?
I've been signed to go 15 rounds with Floyd Patterson at the Madison Square Garden.
Hmm.
Yesterday, the plumber found a Russian spy under the bathroom sink.
Mm-hmm.
I put a nice big gob of poison in your juice this morning.
Mm.
Give me $7 to buy a new hat.
You don't need a new hat.
The funniest thing. The minute I mention money, you hear me fine.
I always hear you, Blanche. What did you say?
I said, why can't I have a maid?
You had a maid.
Yes, but how long was she with us?
She was never with us. She was against us from the start.
I didn't like her anyway. She never swept behind the door.
She did, too. She swept everything behind the door. House was like a pigsty. Now, don't slow me down, Blanche. I gotta get out of here.
Well, what about your breakfast?
What about it?
It's sitting right in front of you, and you never even looked at it.
I looked at it. I don't want to eat it.
Well, what's the matter with it?
I never saw such stringy oatmeal in my life.
That's not oatmeal. It's chow mein.
Chow mein? Who eats chow mein for breakfast?
Well, I don't know what to give you. You won't eat normal breakfast food. You turn up your nose at stewed rabbit. You say you can't stand the sight of enchiladas. And you hate meatballs and spaghetti. What can I give you for breakfast?
What's the matter with an egg, Blanche? An egg, that's all. Why can't I have an egg? There's plenty of ducks walking around.
You're the only man in town who eats duck eggs. I don't know where to buy them.
Don't buy them. I don't like to eat breakfast. I never have an appetite in the morning anyway. Where's my hat?
In the icebox.
Where's my lunch?
In your hat.
Very funny.
John Dickinson, what's that cat doing in the icebox?
Well, no. I could have sworn I put him out last night. Don't look at me like that. Maybe he crawled up the drain pipe. Anyway, he ate all my lunch.
Then you better sit down and finish your chow mein.
Blanche, I tell you, I don't want that stuff.
Well, what'll I do with it?
Give it to the cat.
You hate that cat, don't you?
I don't hate anybody. That's the mail. Get it, will you, Blanche?
I have to do everything around here. Eat your chow mein.
Chow mein for breakfast. Give me a cap. Here. Here's a nice dish of food for you. Here. Go ahead. Eat it. Don't let any get on the floor. Eat it. Go on, eat it. Don't bury it in your sandbox. Let me have that plate. Any mail, Blanche?
Bill. What's this package from Kentucky, John? Why, it's a pint of bourbon.
Give me that. That's my dividend. I belong to the Bottle of the Month Club.
You and that bourbon. No wonder we never have any money. What are you going to do with it, John?
I'm going to hide it in a safe place. We should put a light in this bathroom. Oh, no! Kill that cat! Oh, my bourbon!
Did it rain?
My shirt is all wet. I hope it's blood.
Get up off your knees and stop licking the floor.
Now, what do I do for a shirt?
Wear the one I made for you. It's a lovely shirt.
It isn't lovely, and I won't wear it. It hasn't even got a shirt tail.
You don't need a shirt tail. Just wear your pants higher.
I can't wear them any higher. I wear my pants so high, now I have to unzip them to blow my nose.
Well, I'll buy you a new shirt today. You can wear it at the wedding.
What wedding?
Now, here's the invitation. My cousin Eunice is getting married.
Eunice?
Uncle Raffy's daughter.
Uncle Raffy? Is that the one with no forehead who walks on his knuckles?
He does not walk on his knuckles. He just has very long arms. He used to be a taffy puller.
I'm not going to any broken-down wedding of your cheap relatives.
Uncle Raffy's not cheap. He's a very wealthy man now, and he's invited all the guests to go on a cruise after the ceremony.
A cruise?
What'll we get them for a present, John?
Forget the present and forget the wedding. I'm not going boat or no boat. Goodbye, Blanche. I gotta get to the office.
Now, wait a minute. What's your rush this morning? You're not that vital, you know.
I know it, but I don't want him to find out down at the office. The job isn't so easy to come by these days.
Well, we should find something more dignified anyway.
What do you mean dignified? I'm getting paid. That's all I care about.
Well, I don't like to go around telling people I'm married to a billiard ball salesman.
Bowling ball.
All right, bowling ball. I still think you could do better if you looked around.
Goodbye, Blanche.
John?
What's the matter?
That's a fine way to leave. Haven't you forgotten something?
Handkerchiefs, cigarettes, order blanks, samples. No, I got everything.
I mean, is that the way a man says goodbye to his wife? Just goodbye?
Oh, honey, I can't shake hands with you now. I got my fingers stuck in these bowling balls.
Oh, goodbye.
Hey, a little break into comedy with the Bickersons here on Erie House Radio.
Yeah, I used those kind of as a guideline when I was, we got a chance to make a series of Home Sweet Home cartoons with Timeless Television way back when Kathleen and I did. And I kind of based it on the good old battling Bickersons in a way. So it was a lot of fun. I loved Don Ameche and Francis Langford. There were different times when neither one was there. Marsha Hunt filled in for Francis Langford for a while, but Francis Langford was there for most of it. It was more often than not that Don Ameche wasn't available, but it just didn't work. And the only time it really worked were when those two got together to do it. Matter of fact, for 1 year, Charlie McCarthy's show, they actually abandoned the guest. They always had, you know, a special guest. Well, for 1 year, yeah, they abandoned the guest format and focused on having a sketch like a Bickerson sketch in there instead of bringing in another guest. And it just very much, I guess, reminiscent of what Jackie Gleason did with the Honeymooners on his variety show as well, kind of got away from guest and had skits and the Honeymooners skits or sketches within that show really kind of took over that show in many times.
Yeah, and a lot of fun. You know, next week, the Grim Reaper himself. It's death, man. Lots of death coming to Erie House. So it's into the horror, suspense, and thrills. As we present, let's see, what are we going to start with on Friday? Suspense, Inner Sanctum, and The Shadow. And next Saturday, it's CBS Radio Mystery Theater.
Woo!
Yep. Okay, Dave, any special announcements?
Nothing here. I already begged for their vote. Over on the Erie House page, you can see some shots from our shoot this afternoon, or this morning, at the Time Traveler Records. So you could catch on Weirdness Really Bad page or on the Erie House page or on my Facebook page, but get a little glimpse of some of the stuff we got going on for our next movie show.
You know, I'm a little jealous. Yeah. Good stuff.
So we got
any Weirdness sightings coming up? Weirdness Really Bad or Spaceship One?
No, they're all kind of run through the 100 plus shows that we've done, and they've got we do have another Spaceship One that should be out anytime. Our director animator thought it would be out for Easter, then he thought it would be out for Memorial Day, and
Friday. We'll see you Friday at 8:30 Eastern. Thanks, gang. More about that
about
in
Christmas.
The after party.
The castle lights are growing dim. There's no one left but me and him. When next we meet in Frankenstone, don't come alone.
Now, there
and then
we go.
Remember St. Grunion's Day. Yep, St. Grunion's Day. It was that you thought it might be ready for St. Grunion's Day. Nope, not ready yet. Oh, well.
St. Grunion's Day? Tell me about St. Grunion's Day.
He's the patron saint of Grunion's.
Grunion's. Is that like a cross between a garlic and an onion? What is a grunion?
Something like that. Yeah.
I see.
Yeah, we need more patron saints in charge of spices.
Yes. Silly man.
What do I know? I'm not Catholic. What do I know? But, you know, I could be a spokesman for many possible patron saints, you know. That maybe that's what I should try and do.
I'm not Catholic either anymore. But I do, like I said, I've told you before, I've mentioned this, I know, as I have a fond place in my heart for nuns, and I think the world needs more of them. Nuns with rulers, they'll straighten these kids out.
So you have a fondness for nothing? You have for none?
You have a fondness for none? Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yes, true.
Now I'm confused.
None better. That's right. That's actually the name of a company that makes birdseed. How do I know this? Because I buy the stuff. To lure birds into our yard so we can shoot them with a camera.
Oh, okay.
With a camera.
Okay.
No, I'm not that bad. Animals are safe. It's the people that got to watch out.
I saw that one you filmed from your backyard. You had dinosaurs roaming around there. You know, the dinosaurs were safe, but the people weren't.
Yeah, I was one of them. The dinosaurs roaming the backyard. That was a fun episode of The Lost World, let me tell you.
Working with that young fella, amazing.
And putting that together. He helped a lot with the hatching scene. But I did all the green screening with them chasing myself and eating that dude. Yep. And Gar's not feeling well today, so it's repeat day.
It's a rerun, but even a rerun of Gar's is well worth watching. So
absolutely, you and I are. And actually, when you pre-recorded,
I tell you what, I don't think I'd have the guts to do what he does live.
I don't think I'd have the stamina anymore.
Oh, yeah, that comes into that, too, because, you know, he does between a 3 and 4 hour show.
Live. Yeah, he's a freaking marathon.
and there was one time, it hit almost 11 o'clock, and Gar says, what do you want to see? I have another movie here. And everybody yelled, double features. Okay, let's do a double feature. And I was yelling at my computer, are you insane? So I actually called
double
him up
feature,
the next day.
Ben-Hur and Ten Commandments.
So I called him the next day about 2:30 in the afternoon, knowing he would be asleep until about then. And he answered up and says, Dave, I said, are you insane?
That's great. And we all know the answer to that is yes. He's a good kind of insane.
Yes, he is.
Yeah.
Very much like, you know, our good friends over at Unsane Radio. If you ever get a chance to check them out. We have good friends all over the place. And those guys are good friends of ours with Professor Tarr and
Professor Feather.
And Professor Feather. Yeah. And they have like 5 people on that. And wow, it's very interesting. Very interesting how they put that all together.
That it is, and very clever with their artwork and their ads. They have that retro feel to them. Psychotronics, I believe they call their area of interest. It gets into not just horror, but cult films and, you know, older cult films, of course.
Yes.
And I laugh because one of my favorite episodes of them is when they hosted Terror of Tiny Town.
Oh, that one was so funny.
Yeah.
He kept dropping their drawers in that one.
We know a lot of good horror hosts. We're good people.
Yes,
Arachna.
They are.
Yep. I thought I saw Sally the zombie cheerleader coming out of the woodwork. I've seen her posting lately. She was so quiet for so long.
She was.
Very clever gal. I have a book, actually. She wrote a kid's book that I bought from her at a convention. Well, her table, not her personally. She and, what's his name, the tall guy? Gastly. Hey, Gastly Ghoul. Hey, Gastly Ghoul.
Yeah.
We hosted a Spider Baby, but it's not one I've repeated a lot. It didn't come out that great. But that was fun, co-hosting that movie with those guys.
Yeah.
Sally's funny. It's a different approach. It's a different kind of character. A zombie cheerleader. And she refers to humans as fleshies.
Oh, fleshies. Okay. Well, that makes a certain amount of sense.
Yeah, being a cheerleader... A zombie cheerleader, no less.
A zombie cheerleader, no less than that.
I guess it's okay to refer to us as fleshies. I am not offended. Oh, man. Good horror. Good radio today.
Very, very, again, I can't say it's not. Hyman Brown really knows how to tell a story. I mean, just think of the thousands of shows that he's done through the golden age of radio and through the Mystery Theater, where he did over 1,000 of those, you know, almost 1,399. You think they would have let him have one more show. You know, I have to tell you, Dale, on the internet, I once found a website, a CBS fan website, that said he had found the script. He went into where Hyman Brown's studio was at one point and found this box. Inside this box was an unrecorded script from the Mystery Theater. He had the script there. Ooh. And I didn't download it when I was there. I tried to go back and download it later, and the whole website was gone and everything. But I was thinking, you know what, if that was still there, we could recreate that unrecorded Mystery Theater story. And not that we know for sure it was really a story that was, you know, that was left in a box in the remains of Hyman Brown's radio studio in New York City.
Sounds
a little fishy, but there was a story there, and we could have redone the lost radio Mystery Theater story.
Now, but, you know, who'd be good at that is Joe Bev.
Yeah, that would have given him a chance to do that, you know. But alas and alack, the story is no longer available on the internet.
Arg. Now, if you ever see it again, copy and paste.
I should have downloaded it when I had the opportunity, because I did read it online, but I didn't download it.
Yeah.
And it just made me angry that because when I went back, the whole website and everything was gone, because, you know, it does cost a few bucks every year to maintain your website name.
Yeah.
So,
you know,
I thought that go ahead.
I was just thinking of all the radio I would have never heard had we not started doing this, and we've only scratched the surface here.
Yeah, not everything we air is a classic, but there's some good stories in there, some great stories that we've shared.
Variety is not a problem.
Yeah. Yeah, I would say that this tonight's story ended up being a great story.
Yeah.
And told well. And but we've had many, many, many of those. And not just the Mystery Theaters, but so many other stories, even some of the classic Shadows and some things like that. It just pure storytelling in a way that the television never can.
Yeah. Well, again, you have that third eye inside your head that creates the story. It's kind of like what we were talking about the other yesterday as well, or I was. How when you hear someone's voice for a long time on radio, when you finally meet them, you're shocked. They don't look anything like you imagine them. And subsequently, if you hear a story first and then you see it in a movie, you're like, that's not how it goes. That's not how it was supposed to go.
Yeah. And that's kind of what the whole thing about the RKO radio pictures, the whole advent of them, because people wanted to see their radio stars in the movies because they didn't know what they looked like. And many of the Fibber McGee and Molly characters, I nailed Fibber McGee pretty well. I didn't nail Molly. Gildersleeve wasn't bad, but the other characters were not in there that I did very well with imagining what they look like to what they actually look like.
That's okay. Fibber McGee nailed Molly. Anyway,
woo!
Hey, that wasn't nice. they were quite the team, though. I mean, they hung out together a long time with their show.
Yeah, they did. And
into the movies. And
yeah, they did a total of four movies. The first one, they were kind of guessing This Way, Please. Kind of was a starring, gave Mary Livingston one of her first and few roles outside of the Jack Benny stuff that she did, where she was kind of a featured player. The biggest thing that came out of that movie was a guy doing a song called The Sound Effects Man. He was testing out the microphone. He did it by being the sound effects man and mostly making noises with his voice and his mouth, much like that guy did on the police Academy movie. Yeah. And so to me, that was a highlight. And I didn't even know that was before I was really figuring out. That was very early when we came into Northeast Ohio. And it was one of those Sunday afternoon movies that Channel 8 or Channel 5 showed. And, so that was my first taste of that. And I didn't even know that was for McGee and Molly, because I wasn't as aware. I mean, at that point, I was only like 11 years old and just starting to get in through the into the old time radio.
Yep. Oh, the kid's coming over tomorrow, so it's time to grill.
Ooh, gonna burn that meat, huh? Make a sacrifice to the charcoal gods.
Ten pounds of it.
Woo!
Yeah, I'm gonna make like probably about 30 or 40 shish kebabs because the kids like them, and I want enough for everybody to have all week. They're gonna bring the rice. They're gonna bring like a ton of rice. But I make it good, and there's a new there's been a farm up on Route 58. It's the main drag going north and south through Lorain County. Or at least the western portion of Lorain County going north and south. And it's called McConnell's, and they opened up a farmer's market. Oh, my gosh, the quality of the meat there is, like, incredible.
Wow.
Yeah, but so is the price. It's not cheap. It's not cheap. But they have all kinds of weird stuff. And I did not know this, but you could get Chick-fil-A sauce there. They sell jars of Chick-fil-A sauce for them.
Ah,
like that.
Okay.
Yeah. I never stopped and ate there. I had like offices where they treat you with this little Chick-fil-A sandwich. I never actually went to one until we were actually on the way to pick the puppy up. That was the first time ever got to try it at all. And it was very good.
It is very good. I'll tell you another thing. I'd heard about it, but I never actually heard anybody say how good it was. One of my volunteers had an extra late meeting at his job. Well, he really wasn't really fond of, but they brought in those Popeye chicken sandwiches, and Popeye had this big thing.
Oh.
They were fighting the Chick-fil-A for supremacy, and I guess it was absolutely unbelievable that a place like Popeye's would have this. And so, because Popeye's is into that Louisiana spicy chicken, so was it spicy?
Yeah.
No, they have a spicy one, but this was a regular chicken breaded.
Mm-hmm.
And
I want to try Popeye's. I have not yet tried Popeye's.
Good.
It looks good. It looks good. I will have.
We
some
have
Popeye's.
Two. We have two not far from here. Neither one is in the most desirable neighborhood, but I'm gonna try it one of these days. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I would like to see if this pandemic hasn't destroyed those businesses, but I missed the drive-in type, like your A&W. What the heck? They have this one. It's Swanson's or something, I believe it's called.
Swanson's.
I want to get out there.
Right out here, that was actually started right out here in Akron, Ohio. The family has expanded it. And a matter of fact, my father-in-law met his mother-in-law. My father-in-law met my mother-in-law there. She was a car hop at the time, and he decided once he met her that he needed a lot of Swenson hamburgers. So so he was there more than once a week, shall we say?
Yes. And sometimes he would order something. what we're talking about is the old-time restaurant that you can just drive up to, and he'd come, as Dave mentioned, a car hop would come and take your order and bring your food to you. And I would love to go there with my family and my son's 72 Newport. It would feel...
Ooh, there you go. There you go.
It would feel so retro. And they're filming a movie now. Wellington's been like... Isn't it? We had an ex-president here lately. We have a movie crew in town. Again, there was recently a Liam Neeson film. But now now they're tearing the town apart for another film. And our town's been renamed Blacksmith.
Blacksmith. Okay.
For now, yes. Yeah, and it's a period piece. It appears, based on some cars I've seen that they're using for the movie, like they painted up police cars and an ambulance and stuff. It appears it's taking place like late 70s or early 80s. And I'm going to say probably early 80s. Ever since Stranger Things, people are doing more and more 80s stuff in entertainment.
Well, that, and they're also doing a lot more away from Hollywood.
Yeah.
Because Hollywood is just so expensive to shoot and to put people up and all that, where in Ohio, they get some discounts for doing it, but they also, you know, it's a lot more reasonable to do your shooting. I know down in Amish country, Wayne Holmes County, they've been doing some shooting down there quite a bit, and even have done a couple here. Corbin Burnson did Hill 25 here, which was about the Soapbox Derby competition.
Yeah, they're going to be filming early this week. They're shutting down pretty much the quote-unquote downtown area from Sunday night until like Thursday morning. And you can see film crews and stuff putting stuff up, renaming stores. There's even a Radio Shack in our town now.
So are you going to wander over and just watch them do some shooting?
Probably not.
I would. Yeah, I would. I know I was fascinated. Mike Mace had the guys that go to places and buy, you know, go through people's stuff and buy their, what is that? It'll come to me, but it'll be too
Lodi?
Late. But yeah, well, in his place, they came to his place, and I invited myself over, and
they
made me stay across. Yeah, American Pickers. There you go. Thank you. And I invited myself over, and they made me stay across the street almost all the time. But what was cool about that was they had the guy who was basically the on-location producer was there. On basically, his job was pretty much done, and so he was just there making sure everything was running along the way it's supposed to. But he spent most of his time across the street, so I spent my time picking his brain and listening to his stories. And I thought it was pretty cool. I also had a nice zoom on my camera, so I got some nice shots that ended up in the Medina Gazette.
Yeah, too bad this wasn't taking place a little earlier than Michael could have got his Newport into the film.
Yeah, yeah.
Denise is talking about going up there with the dog because she thinks he's so cute that they'll be smitten by him. Okay, whatever. He is a cute, but he's a little demon. He's that's kind of what I was referring to earlier of chunks of me are missing.
Okay.
He's got that puppy madness where he plays a little rough.
Yeah.
And he's teething.
He will learn.
On me.
Yeah. He will learn when you run out of places to bite. He will learn.
He is, and Joey's finally getting a little bit of courage. This morning I let the dog out. And then, as he usually does after he evacuates himself, he comes back in and goes back to sleep for about an hour. Well, I'm watching TV, and I feel something rub up against me, and I figure it's the dog. No, Joey snuck upstairs while the dog was sleeping and came to say hello.
Ah!
We're growing a little courage there, aren't we? Yes, sir. He's been hanging out here for the whole show.
So the puppy hasn't actually seen Joe yet, Mighty Joe.
I don't think so. I know he'll chase him. And as long as Joe feels he has a place he can go to and not be messed with, I think that's all right. I'd like to put a cat door to the basement door.
There you go.
But I'm going to wait till the dog's a little bit bigger.
Because the dog could probably get through a cat door at the moment, yeah.
Yeah, he's a little... He's a little stinky, but man, in 3 weeks, we put 7 pounds on him.
There you go.
He was 17 pounds when we got him, and then 3 weeks later at the vet, he was 24. He's going to be a beast. He's got some big feet, big tree stumps for feet.
You'll have fun with that.
He's a good-looking boy. Now he'll just get over this puppy thing.
Yeah.
He's getting better. He's learning stuff every day.
Well, sir.
All right.
I wish for you to have a good meat burning tomorrow. And
It will be.
Yeah, make those sacrifices to the steak gods and keep that practice going.
Well, actually, there's a little bit of steak, a little bit of pork, and a little bit of chicken.
Ah.
For everybody's preferences.
There you go. A little bit of little of something for everyone.
Yeah, I think the daughter likes the pork. So does the wife. Everybody likes the chicken, and I really like the beef. Oh, yeah. Kill me a cow any day.
As long as it isn't one of those cows that give you chocolate milk. You know, I can't let you do that. But
yeah, those are the brown cows. They're easy to spot. When you see a brown cow, just say, how now?
That's right. That's right.
Yes.
And with that, there's no better note to go out on except a note by the one and only James Durante.
Good night.
It's time to say good night. Well,
let's say it. Good night. What more to say but good night? We've had a few laughs, and it's time for toodaloo. Aribo, up we the same, and ink-a-tink-a-doo. Good night. Good night.
Good night, folks.
and good night, Mrs. Calabash, wherever.
Warning! Warning! It's the wife! It's the wife! Warning! Warning! It's the wife! It's the wife!